Amen. It's good to come to God's word tonight. If we would turn to the Beatitudes, please, in Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, blessings in the Beatitudes. Particularly tonight, we'll be focusing on verses 6 to 9, so four verses, and trust that your hearts are open, as my heart is, to receive the word tonight. Let's pray tonight. Lord, we come to your word tonight. We know it is a living word. We stand in awe of it, Lord. We stand in awe of you, for you have exalted, Lord. You have exalted yourself, and you are exalted above every other god. For at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that you are Lord, the glory of the Father. And we do that tonight, Lord. We thank you, you've changed our hearts. We thank you that we are yours, Lord. We could sing that hymn, I am thine, O Lord, I have heard thy voice. I am thine. Lord, let us know that tonight, that we are yours. And I pray we would hear your voice through your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. With Matthew chapter 5, a very well-known sermon of the Lord Jesus. And some weeks ago, I focused on those first verses where the Lord Jesus, he, seeing the multitude, he goes up onto a mountain, as it were, an open amphitheater where his voice could travel, where he could be heard. And he seated his disciples, and then there were multitudes gathered, and he opens his mouth and he teaches them. And we looked at the poverty of spirit. I looked at the blessings of those who mourn last time. The blessings of the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Tonight, if we look at verses 6 to 9, further and great blessings in the Beatitudes. Reading verse 6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. God willing, next time I want to look at those further verses that deal with persecution and make that a real focus for our hearts to be encouraged and blessed to pray for the persecuted and particularly those suffering at this time. But tonight, looking at those verses, I'm sure there could be a sermon in each verse there, a sermon in each word. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. You know, the sign that the Spirit of God indwells us as believers, a sign of that is that there's a hunger and a thirst for righteousness. Before, dead in the grave, like Lazarus, needing to be awoken and called out of our slumber, we may have known of God, we may have even read his word, but until one is saved, how can they truly bless, how can they truly hunger and thirst for righteousness? I'll submit to you tonight that that is a work of the Spirit, that God's Spirit gives an insatiable hunger and thirst for him. And this is the blessing, this is the privilege in and of itself, that that exists, that God looks to and fro on the earth and sees such evil, but he has chosen to himself a people. He has called to himself a remnant. He's put his spirit in them, and they hunger and thirst for him. God is the seeker. God is seeking. And because he loved us first, because he sought us first, we ought now to seek his face forevermore. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Well, in the book of John, we have the well-known account of the feeding of the 5,000. But if we just look over there in chapter 6, in the book of John, we see the Lord Jesus declaring himself to be the bread of life, the bread of God, being he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. And you know, the crowds follow the Lord. And They followed after he had fed them. And in verse 26, if we just pick it up there in John 6, Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled." That's pretty amazing, isn't it? It just really depicts human nature. It really depicts the temporal. That man in and of himself and the flesh is just seeking to live for today, to store up on the earth maybe abundance and to go. But Jesus said, "Do not labor for the food which perishes." Verse 27. "Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life. This is the bread of life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him." God the Father set his seal upon his own Son and sent his own Son to be that bread that gives eternal life to the whole world. And if you just look down a little bit further, in verse 35, Jesus, when they asked him for that bread that comes down from heaven, Jesus said to them very clearly, "I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. It's not something that's temporal. I am he. And he who comes to me shall never hunger. And he who believes in me shall never thirst." And this is the spiritual hunger. This is the spiritual thirsting that Jesus preached in Matthew chapter 5. This is the blessing to those who hunger and thirst for him, for him, for his righteousness. "I am the bread of life. He who believes in me shall never thirst, shall never hunger. But I said to you that you have seen me and yet you do not believe. But all that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out." Jesus is the bread of life. He is the reality. So this hunger and thirst for righteousness, this hunger and thirst is clearly spirit driven. It's driven of the Spirit of God. You know, it doesn't come into man's heart to know God unless God draws him in loving kindness. Unless God first reaches out. And once that person has tasted and seen that the Lord is good, then that appetite is changed. The appetite is changed. It goes from a carnal appetite to a spiritual appetite. And I pray that we would have that spiritual appetite tonight. That we would have that spiritual appetite tomorrow and as we go out into life, as we face, you know, the waves and the buffeting winds of this life, that we would have the spiritual appetite, because that alone will be our satisfaction. That alone is what truly can fill us, hunger and thirst for righteousness. That appetite for worldliness, when you're saved, is changed to a desire for God, which is a gift from him. It's interesting, right in the beginning of Scripture, right in the beginning of the Bible, we see murder. We see God creating all things perfect, and we see the fall of man, and then we see murder. We see what comes from the heart of man. You know, Jesus knew what was in man when he came on the earth. And at that time, in Genesis chapter 4, we see this great evil that came upon the earth, but we also see this grace that God gives after Cain takes the life of his brother. We see Seth being born. So if you turn in Genesis 4, 25, 26, just a few verses I want to read, which I believe are poignant, and they've been very poignant in my life when I consider the book of Genesis. We know that from, by God's grace, that lineage, through Seth's lineage, that lineage was blessed. See, what Satan tries to destroy, God brings back to life. And so, Adam knew his wife again, and she bore a son and named him Seth. "For God," she said, "has appointed another seed for me instead of Abel, whom Cain killed. And as for Seth, to him also a son was born, and he named him Enosh. Then men began to call on the name of the Lord." It's very poignant. "Then men began to call on the name of the Lord." We see from the garden, we see this perfect fellowship with the Father, this this fellowship where there was eating, there was supping. There was unbroken fellowship with the living God and man. And we see this brokenness and destruction. We see the rebellion of Adam and Eve. Then we see the murder of Cain. And suddenly we see this blessing. God is always trying to reconcile man to himself. And his promises never fail. And to me, that verse, that last part of the verse is very poignant in the whole of Scripture. Then at that point, men began to call on the name of the Lord. That's incredible. At that point, men began to call on the name of the Lord. Because, you know, God is giving this seed. God, by his grace, is giving Seth to be this seed, this lineage that's going to continue down and be a blessing down the generations. And man, God put it in man to begin to call on his name. This is something that's incredible. Do we have a hunger and thirst for righteousness? Do we call on the name of the Lord? Can you see this calling? Can you see this drive from within to call on the name of the Lord when we get up in the morning? Is our first reaction to call on the name of the Lord? When we awake out of our sleep, is our first instinct to call on the name of the Lord? To be unified with him, to walk with him through the day, to spend time in his presence. You know, that hymn that we sung, I am thine, O Lord, I have heard thy voice, and draw me nearer, precious Lord. That was written by a blind woman, wasn't it? Frances Jane Crosby. She couldn't see, but she thirsted and hungered after God. She wrote thousands of hymns of hunger and thirst for righteousness. Really good selection tonight. I appreciated that hymn. Oh, the pure delight of a single hour that before thy throne I spend. Oh, the pure delight of a single hour. You know, today in life's busyness, oh, I tell you, if we had not our sight, would we spend more time with the Lord? Would there be less distractions? I'm preaching to myself tonight. We need a hunger and thirst for righteousness. We need to wake in the morning and call on the name of the Lord. Let our prayer not be just routine, but a desire and a longing, a thirst and hunger for the living God. Blessed are those who thirst, who yearn for righteousness. You know, today we await the Lord's return. At that point in time, man began to call on the name of the Lord. And I see today in the church, while much of the church slumbers in particularly persecuted nations, men calling on the name of the Lord to return. People crying out to God for his return because they're in anguish of soul, because they're in anguish because of those things around them. Friends, do not suppress that yearning within. It will drive a holy hunger and thirst for God. When we see the hurt and when we see the evil, don't we desire to see the end of all sin upon the earth? Are there not times where as a Christian, as someone walking with God, we cry out, we say, Lord, enough. When we hear of this incident, or not even wanting to hear of certain things, we in life's way hear of the atrocities on this earth, don't we pray, Lord, come. Lord, come. Do we not call upon the name of the Lord? Friend, when we pray, when you pray, do you weep? Have you wept? Have you sweated for souls? Have you yearned? Have you thirsted after God's presence lately? Have you yearned for his presence? Have you been in that intimate place with God in prayer where you say, give me Jesus or I die? Is that the dependence of your heart? Is that the cry of your heart? When we read, do we search? Do we dig for treasure? Do we dig for wisdom as for fine gold? Do we search for it? Do we long to be with others, God's people? Do we tell others of our wonderful Savior? Friends, this is an evidence that we're hungering and thirsting for righteousness. Can our work colleagues, Can our family, our friends see in us a hunger and thirst for the temporal, or a hunger and a thirst for the eternal? That is going to be the question of our heart. Is there a hunger and thirst for the eternal in our hearts? Friends, this is a life filled with the Spirit. As the woman at the well was promised in John 4, this water that I give you, this living water, if you taste of it, you will never thirst again. And it shall be in you a spring welling up unto eternal life. Is that our experience? Is that our Christian experience, friends? Does out of your belly flow rivers of living water? Do you call upon the living God? Are you filled with His Spirit? Do you hunger and thirst for righteousness? If you do, you'll be satisfied. You'll be filled. For Jesus will not ever leave you barren, leave you lacking, leave you in want. He will fill that thirsty soul. He will give bread to that hungering. Simple words, but oh, how we need to live them. Simple truths, but oh, how we need to get up in the morning and call on the living God, thirst and hunger for Him. Blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness. Verse 7 says, blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the merciful. This is another sermon again. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And I could think of no better place to go than to Matthew 18, which is a well-known parable of the Lord Jesus. If we open it at Matthew 18, the parable of the unmerciful servant. And you know, Peter comes to the Lord Jesus, reading from verse 21 in chapter 18. Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times. You know, that would have been tough in the flesh, wouldn't it? Without the Spirit's help. Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven, but up to 70 times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. When he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed 10,000 talents. He was not able to pay, so his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all he had, and that payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. Well, let's read so far. Well, we see in this the incredible mercy of our God. We see in this the unending and unfailing. The type of the 70 times 7 means no end. There's no end to that number. This is what the Lord Jesus says to Peter. I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times 7. And he gives this example, he gives this parable, that the kingdom of heaven is likened unto this man who owed his master 10,000 talents. An exorbitant fee. Never able to be paid back. Never able to be paid back. And as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all he had, and that payment be made. But the servant, falling down before him, said, Master, have patience with me and I'll pay you all. And that master is moved with compassion. The Lord Jesus, when he saw the multitudes, it says he was moved with compassion. He was moved. This is the Lord Jesus. This is the living God. This is his compassion. When we deserved full imprisonment, when we deserved the full weight of the law, and all that it holds and all that it contains. We deserve the book to be thrown at us. And to make recompense for every single transgression. And that recompense ultimately here is eternal imprisonment. Because that man would never be able to repay. We see the mercy of God. we see the mercy of God. God is a God abundant in mercy. Abundant in mercy. You know, recall Peter when they were traveling. The disciples were traveling with the Lord and they were passing by a village and they made out as to go past the village. And the village didn't receive them. And Peter said, "Shall we not call down fire from heaven to consume them?" Jesus said, "Peter, you know, no matter what spirit you are, for the Son of Man has not come to destroy, but to seek that which is lost." He's not come to destroy. The world already is condemned. Jesus was not sent into the world to say, "I condemn you, world." It was already condemned. He came to offer himself sacrifice for sinners. And Peter wanted to call down brimstone, this unmerciful reaction, but Jesus rebuked him in a major way. And so we see the second part of that parable. When this servant who is forgiven so much, in verse 28, he goes out and he finds one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat saying, "Pay me what you owe." But the fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him saying, "Have patience with me and I will pay you all." But he would not, but he went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. And when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved. They came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant?"